Welcome to week number 49 of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired word. We are in Joshua chapter number 19. Verse number 49 is where we're going to begin. This is the summary of what we looked at last week at the very end of our session, that the land distribution has been made. The divine lot has been cast, and each of the 12 tribes have received their land allotments. Now, for many of them, they do not yet occupy their territory. Some of the core areas, yes, they are living in those. But some of the tribal groups that are outside of that core area, they're going to have to go in and take their property. Because the Canaanites have started moving back in after Joshua's sweep through the land of Canaan during the last 6 years. This land allotment seems to have taken place in the 47th year of the Exodus, which would be the 7th year that the Israelites were in the Promised Land. And so they would be getting ready for their sabbatical year, the very first one to start in the fall of that year. And the largest number of the allotments, I believe, was likely made in connection with the Feast of Tabernacles that finished up the 6th year of labor and kicked off the 7th year of rest for the Israelites. So here's our summary. Joshua 19:49, when they had finished distributing the several territories of the land as inheritances, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua the son of Nun. By command of he who is, they gave him the city that he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. And he rebuilt the city and settled in it. Now, this kind of matches what happened with Caleb. Caleb of the tribe of Judah was one of the two good spies, he and Joshua, that first went into the Promised Land 47 years earlier. And only they have been granted the ability to go from the time of wandering, the punishment phase, into the Promised Land because of their good work. So they are the oldest guys in the whole nation of Israel. They're in their 80s, upper 80s, it would appear. So Caleb asked for and received Hebron as his inheritance. And he goes in there and kicks out the sons of Anakim, the giants that are still trying to hold on to that territory. And then Joshua asks for and receives Timnath-Serah. Now, Timnath-Serah is about, 10 miles or so as the crow flies northwest of where they're at right now during this land distribution. That's Shiloh, the new site for the tabernacle. It's also, that is, Timnath-Serah, about 10 miles, give or take a mile, southwest of the ancient city of Shechem. So his property that he is receiving is not very far from the tabernacle or the place where the standing stones with the written word of God are on them at Shechem. So he's got a great piece of property that will allow him to interact with holy sites in the center of the new Israeli homeland. Now, the city apparently was damaged during the takeover, and so he has to rebuild it, and then he moves his family into it, which would include a lot of kids, grandkids, probably great-grandkids as well. Verse 51, these are the inheritances that Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel distributed by lot at Shiloh before he who is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. So now everybody knows where their tribal region is. We had details given in the previous chapters as to how to find the boundaries for this, but there's a lot of unfamiliar names and some landmarks and towns that we don't know exactly where they're at. But more than likely, you would be benefited by finding the typical map that shows the areas of the 12 tribes of Israel in the time of Joshua. You can go online and find that. You can probably find old Bible books, commentaries, and things that would have it in it as well. But get familiar with that because it will help you understand the movement in some of the stories that are coming up later. Chapter number 20, we now see happen what has been talked about a couple of times now, and that is the designation of the cities of refuge. Chapter 20, then he who is said to Joshua, say to the people of Israel, appoint the cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer, remember this is somebody who kills someone, but they're claiming it's an accident. So that's manslaughter, and it's a different penalty. So that the manslayer who strikes any person without intent or unknowingly may flee there. They shall be for you a refuge from the avenger of blood. The avenger of blood is the local, we're going to call him policeman slash executioner, who is designated by the families that were impacted by the death to track down and pronounce judgment on and execute the person who killed their family member or friend. So the reason for the cities of refuge is to make sure everybody has the right to a fair trial before any such action is taken by the avenger of blood. Verse 4, he shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and explain his case to the elders of the city. Then they shall take him into the city and give him a place, and he shall remain with them. That is, if they find his story plausible and the evidence seems to indicate it was an accident, it was not intentional. Verse 5, if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not give up the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor unknowingly and did not hate him in the past. He shall remain in that city until he has stood before the congregation for judgment until the death of him who is high priest at the time. So this is a little bit different statute of limitations than what we think about. We usually want to have a very clear time element, like 5 years or 10 years. And once that passes, then the crime is no longer going to be on the person's record. He can't be held accountable for it anymore. In this case, because there was a death, even if it was accidental, if the family is insisting that there be a penalty, that is, we want this person dead for killing our friend, our family member, then this person who has been charged with the crime and found to be a manslayer, not a murderer, he has to be under city arrest or city limitations until the high priest passes away. And then and only then can he or she go back to their own town with the guarantee that they cannot be executed. By the way, if they do try to go back to the town before the high priest is dead, they are fair game for the avenger of blood. They can be executed summarily on the spot once they're found. because they're not following these rules. So there is the sense given here that every death is serious enough that there needs to be some sort of consideration of it by the person who committed the crime. If it was on purpose, they need to get it straightened out with God before they're executed. If it was accidental, they need to have a time out to consider how they should have been much more careful. Now, the impact upon the society as a whole is that chilling effect. It is to make people think twice before letting their temper get the best of them or not taking proper precaution in the things that they're doing. All right, so then after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to his own town and his own home, to the town from which he fled. So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali. That's a little bit north of Hazor, about 10 miles, I think, or so north of the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and so that's fairly centrally located on the the west side of the Jordan. And Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. And so each of these cities is somewhere between 30 and 40 miles from each other? Maybe 60 for the longest one. So on the western side of the Jordan, everyone is within about one day's hard travel, call it 30 miles, to any of the three cities of refuge. So they can make it in one day of fleeing. Now, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they appointed Bezer in the wilderness on the tableland from the tribe of Reuben. And we don't know exactly where that's at, but it's got to be in the south where it's easily accessible. And Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad. And that's Ramoth-Gilead. And so it's in the center part on the eastern side. And Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. Now, we're guessing where this city of Golan is, but you can hear from the name of it, it's located in the Golan Heights, which would be east and northeast of the Sea of Galilee, right in that area. And again, all of them within one day's journey from any place in the Promised Land and in the annexed territories on the east. You would know which city of refuge was the closest to wherever you were at. Verse 9, these were the cities designated for all the people of Israel and for the stranger sojourning among them, that anyone who killed a person without intent could flee there so that he might not die by the hand of the avenger of blood till he stood before the congregation. And note, if the city of refuge trial goes against you and you're found guilty by the charges that are brought against you by those from the city where the crime happened, then you are immediately turned over to the avenger of blood for them to execute you. Chapter number 21. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites came to Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, to the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel. And they said to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, he who is commanded through Moses that we be given cities to dwell in, along with their pasture lands for our livestock. So by the command of he who is, the people of Israel gave to the Levites the following cities and pasture lands out of their inheritance. All right, so all of the tribes have their property designated. The six cities of refuge have been designated. And so now the Levites, at the command of God, through Moses, and now through Joshua and Eleazar, they are going to be given their Levitical cities. Because the tribe of Levi is supposed to be scattered through all the other tribes to provide spiritual and legal support to all of those tribes during the year. Three times a year, all the men are supposed to come to the tabernacle to worship and to also give their tithe at one of those times, and to maybe even gain information that they need for their lives. But the rest of the year, they're going to get spiritual guidance, judicial guidance from the Levites living near them. And so these cities are scattered everywhere, and each city includes surrounding farmland and pasture land so that these Levites can survive. This more than likely indicates a sort of system that we see clearly designated when David and Solomon put together the temple procedures, and that is a reserve system, so that certain Levites, well, all the Levites, all the priests, serve at certain times throughout the year, very briefly, and the rest of the time they're back in their home territory, and that's where they're doing their service. And so here are the cities, not all of them designated by name, just given the tribal breakup as to where they're located. So verse 4, the lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. That's one of the three branches of the Levites. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot from the tribe of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin, 13 cities. The rest of the Kohathites received by lot from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 tribes. So, 10 cities. So in these southern areas, that is south of the Jezreel and Megiddo Valley, these Levites have these cities designated specifically for their use. And so 13 and 10, we've got 23 cities pretty much in the south. Then we go to the north. The Gershonites received by lot. That's another of the three tribes, sub-tribes of Levi. From the clans of the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. The Merarites, that's our third subgroup within Levi, received from the tribes of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. These cities and their pasture lands, the people of Israel gave by lot to the Levites, as he who is had commanded through Moses. So the tribes got their designated areas by divine lot, and they knew all the different cities inside their territory. So those cities have now been used as the pool from which, by the divine lot, certain cities are given to the Levites. And so we're going to find out what some of those cities are here in just a moment. Verse number 9, out of the tribe of the people of Judah and the tribe of the people of Simeon, they gave the following cities mentioned by name, which went to the descendants of Aaron, one of the clans of the Kohathites, who belonged to the people of Levi since the lot fell to them first. They gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak. That would be the giant groups that were kicked out of there by Caleb, because Caleb actually asked for Kiriath Arba, which is also Hebron, as his territory. Well, it was still in the lot arrangement, and it came up to be one of the Levitical cities. So it's in the hill country of Judah, along with the pasture lands around it. But the fields of the city and its villages had been given to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his possession. So Caleb gets to keep a large portion of Hebron's fields and the villages around Hebron are his, but the Levites get to move in and treat this city as one of their Levitical cities, and they get to run their cattle on the hills around it, and they get to farm many of the fields around it. So it's kind of a mixed arrangement between Caleb and these Levites. Verse 13, to the descendants of Aaron, the priest, they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer and its pasture lands, Libna with its pasture lands, Yatir with its pasture lands, Eshtemoa with its pasture lands, Holon with its pasture lands, Debir with its pasture lands, Ain with its pasture lands, Utah with its pasture lands, Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, nine cities out of the two tribes. Then out of the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands. That will be important later, because at a later date, the tabernacle will be moved to Gibeon, which is one of the Levitical cities listed here. Geba with its pasture lands, Anatoth with its pasture lands. Jeremiah will come from Anatoth, which is a little bit north of Jerusalem. And Almon with its pasture lands, four cities. The cities of the descendants of Aaron, the priests, were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. As to the rest of the Kohathites, belonging to the Kohathite clans of the Levites, the cities allotted to them were out of the tribe of Ephraim. To them were given Shechem. Now, isn't this interesting? By lot, Shechem ends up belonging to the Levites as well. So it's a city of refuge, just like Hebron. It's a Levitical city, just like Hebron. The city of refuge for the manslayer with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim. Gezer with its pasture lands. Gibzaim with its pasture lands. Beth Horon with its pasture lands, four cities. Out of the tribe of Dan, El Teki with its pasture lands, Gibeathon with its pasture lands, Aijalon with its pasture lands, Gath-Rimon with its pasture lands, four cities. Out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, Taanak with its pasture lands, and Gath-Rimon with its pasture lands, two cities. And the cities of the clans of the rest of the Kohathites were 10 in all of their pasture lands. And on some of the maps that you might be able to track down, they will try to identify where these different Levitical cities are located. Although some of them, we don't have enough information to their location to know with certainty just which tribal area they're in. To the Gershonites, one of the clans of the Levites, were given out of the half-tribe Manasseh, Golan in Bashan with its pasture lands, the city of refuge of the manslayer, and Beth Eshtara, with its pasture lands, two cities. Out of the tribe of Issachar, Kishon with its pasture lands, Dabaret with its pasture lands, Yarmut with its pasture lands, Enganim with its pasture lands, four cities. Out of the tribe of Asher, Mishael with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkath with its pasture lands, Rehob with its pasture lands, four cities. And Rehob is fairly far north. Out of the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee with its pasture lands, the city of refuge for the manslayer. And that's going to be the city from which Barak, the judge hero that works with Deborah, comes. Out of this same tribe comes Hamath Dor with its pasture lands and Kartan with its pasture lands, three cities. The cities of the several clans of the Gershonites were in all 13 cities with their pasture lands. To the rest of the Levites of the Merarite clan was given the tribe of Zebulun. And I want to just list the names here. Jokneam, Karta, Dibna, Nahalal, all with their pasture lands, four cities. And then the tribe of Reuben, Bezer with its pasture lands, and Bezer is one of the cities of refuge. Yehaz, Kedemot, Mephaat, four cities with their pasture lands. Out of the tribe of Gad now, Ramot, which is Ramoth-Gilead, with its pasture lands, and it's the city of refuge. Mahanaim with its pasture lands. Later, this will be a royal city because Saul's son will try to set up his kingdom in exile there. And then David will later run there when he's being kicked out by his own son. So it's a very important city, and it's a Levitical city on the east side of the Jordan. Heshbon with its pasture lands. Yazer, that's four cities in all. As for the cities of the several Merorite clans, that is the remainder of the clans of Levites, who, these allotted to them were in all 12 cities. The cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the people of Israel were in all 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its pasture land around it, and so it was with all those cities. So everything set up. 12 tribes have got their designated areas. The Levitical tribes have their designated cities and areas where they can raise their animals and crops. Verse 43, thus he who is gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it, and they settled there. And he who is gave them rest on every side as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of their enemies had withstood them. That is, in the first sweeps through the land under Joshua, that is the southern campaign and the northern campaign, the Canaanites lost all those battles. That's going to start changing when we start talking about things tomorrow, I believe. For he who is had given all of their enemies into their hands. Not one word of all the good promises that he who is had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. So at this point, in the seventh year that they've spent in the land, when they're at Shiloh, designating the tribal regions, everything is looking good. God has kept his promises all along. It's up to the Israelis now to spread out and occupy the land and make it their own. And that's where the trouble starts.